As presidential orators go, George W. Bush has not cut a Reagan-esque or Kennedy-like figure. Alan Metcalf knows his way around such comparisons. He is an expert in American dialects, and he's also the author of Presidential Voices, Speaking Styles from George Washington to George W. Bush. And he joins us now from Springfield, Illinois. Welcome once again to the program. First of all, in general, how did the president do today?
He did well for George W. Bush. But you mentioned Kennedy as another example. George W. Bush's speeches read better on paper than they sound in person. But you think of Kennedy or Clinton or Reagan, they're much better delivered than on paper.
Now, you have directed us to some points in the inaugural address that illustrate the way that George W. Bush delivers, sometimes effectively, sometimes not so effectively. First, let's hear this sentence.
At this second gathering, our duties are defined not by the words I use, but by the history we have seen together.
There, he's putting the emphasis on the wrong words. At this second gathering, our duties are defined not by the words I use, but by the history we have seen together. Where he should have said, at this second gathering, our duties are defined not by the words I use, but by the history we have seen together. He was trying.
Trying. What do you think is happening there? Is the president just too involved in reading the text and not thinking of the sentence in its entirety?
Well, he's not particularly enjoying the role of a public speaker. I think it's very telling that last evening he gave a short talk where he said, "Tomorrow I'll take an oath and deliver an inaugural address. You'll be pleased to hear I'm not going to deliver it twice." Can you imagine someone like Kennedy or Ronald Reagan even joking to say, "You'll be pleased to hear I'm not going to say it twice"? But George W. Bush just isn't that good at it.
And not that comfortable at it.
Not that comfortable. He'd rather be doing something else. And maybe at times as he's reading through it and thinking, "Oh my gosh, this is 20 minutes worth," he's allowing his mind to wander and wish that he were back on the ranch in Texas.
Speculation there, but interesting speculation what he's doing. At another point that you've directed us to, he was succeeding. Let's hear this line.
Democratic reformers facing repression, prison, or exile can know. America sees you for who you are, the future leaders of your free country.
And there he puts his pauses in just the right place. The words are clear and emphatic.
Here is another moment in the speech that you felt was telling.
Few Americans have accepted the hardest duties in this cause, in the quiet work of intelligence and diplomacy, the idealistic work of helping raise up free governments, the dangerous and necessary work of fighting our enemies.
Now, this is a line where the text says, a few Americans, it's like the few, the proud, the brave, but he swallows the A before few.
Yes, so it sounds like few Americans have accepted the hardest duties. And he also said the hardest duties, where he should have talked about the hardest duties.
And one more moment that you flagged for us from the inaugural address.
Some, I know, have questioned the global appeal of liberty. Though this time in history, four decades defined by the swiftest advance of freedom ever seen, is an odd time for doubt.
What do you hear there?
Well, I was looking throughout the entire speech for some little part that was the George W. Bush that we know in conversation, and he, of course, couldn't deviate from his script at all, but I did catch there the phrase, an odd time for doubt, that strikes me as one that he might possibly say in conversation as opposed to reading his speech.
As second inaugurals go, where does this one rate in your view?
Well, second inaugurals are pretty pathetic things generally, except, of course, for Lincoln's second inaugural, which was probably the greatest ever spoken and much better than his first. I'd say that George W. Bush had more focus and better emphasis than before. But as for second inaugurals in general, they are forgettable, and I would venture to say that this second inaugural is going to be forgotten pretty soon.
Alan Metcalf, thank you very much for talking with us once again.
My pleasure.
Dr. Metcalf is the author of Presidential Voices, Speaking Styles from George Washington to George W. Bush, and he is professor of English at McMurray College in Illinois.